Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Klink.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Welcome along to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and we are in episode 246. Now, we unfortunately had a cancellation with the interview I was going to do for this episode. We've rescheduled that, but unfortunately that means we won't have an interview for this episode. So I will bring you up to date with all the latest news and then let you know what is coming this week. So one of the first things that I saw that is worthwhile having a look at, I think, is this new training initiative Microsoft has announced. Now, you'll find that at opportunity.linkedin.com. Now, the idea is Microsoft's bringing its training, so things like Microsoft Learn, together with the opportunities that LinkedIn provides, so, you know, the learning that they have as well, bringing this together into a single portal that anybody can sign up to, and hopefully it will allow people to firstly improve or update their skills in the hope they can improve their current environment or their current opportunities. But it also brings together the ability to apply for jobs and for people who are looking for skilled people or people that may be looking for some sort of traineeship. That's all available in the portal as well. So we'll put the link in the show notes as we always do, but go in and have a look at this. Hopefully we will see that Microsoft will expand this and bring on board other large tech providers to also contribute their own learning around this, but also hopefully the opportunities that arise from their technologies as well. So in the meantime, have a look at opportunity.linkedin.com. Anybody can sign up and join. It's a collaboration between LinkedIn, Microsoft, GitHub, a number of other people out there. So it's aiming to bring the training required for many of these on-demand technology jobs that are out there and hopefully get people skilled up and also put them in a position where they're able to easily apply for these opportunities. Now, I think a very, very positive update for Defender ATP was announced is the fact that it now includes the web filtering for free. Now, how it worked before was you would have to have Defender ATP, then you would typically subscribe to a third-party service to do the web filtering. Now, the web filtering is going to look at the traffic and basically allow you to make decisions around the content, gambling, pornography, those sort of things that you can then create policies and monitor around. Now, the way it was working was that this was announced probably, I don't know, maybe 3 to 6 months ago with a third party, and it looked as though that was going to be a subscription service, so that would be an add-on to Defender ATP. Now, what Microsoft has announced here is that service, the web filtering, which was looking to be an add-on subscription, will be rolled in for free to Defender ATP. So if you have Microsoft 365 E5 or you have added the Defender ATP as a standalone license, you will be able to get this web content filtering for free. So the article that I'll post up there for you will show you what's involved in getting access to that, what to expect, but this again adds more, I think, more functionality, more features into Microsoft's threat protection environment and web filtering. Now, one of the big advantages of having web filtering in something like Defender ATP is that any basic machine that is monitored by Defender ATP is going to have this ability to do web content filtering. So that means your PCs, your Macs, but also now there is a Defender ATP client for Android phones as well. So I've got that on my Android phone, which means that we can do that web contouring, that web filtering on those devices, set policies as well, because again, this concept is then built into the Defender ATP, which is looking over and managing all your devices. So I'll put the link in the article there for you to go and have a look at. And again, remember that if you do have that or considering that, that is now a free addition. Now, there have been plenty of announcements around Microsoft Teams of late. Obviously, Microsoft, I think, is responding to the challenges from other providers. Now, the first article I'll point you to is this Reimagining Virtual Collaboration for the Future of Work and Learning. Now, it's got a lot of interesting announcements from what the Teams client will include. One of the interesting ones is this Together mode. Now, the idea with Together mode is, rather than just being a bunch of talking heads with backgrounds, what it will do is it will put your image in like a classroom sitting background or a meeting. So it gives it more of a, you know, a real world feel, I suppose. Now, I can see personally the benefit for this in a classroom environment. So if you've got a whole bunch of kids that are using Teams, having them all, you know, in a virtual desk arrangement, all looking back at you, does tend to, I think, make it feel more like a classroom rather than a bit of a disconnected virtual environment. I'm not so sure how well it will translate into the business environment. Wait and see. It may work for a lot of people because, again, we've got a lot of people who are new to this virtual meeting world. Now, we've also got the ability to have dynamic views. Now, what dynamic views are going to mean is we can select which people we want to see on the screen, how big they are. So maybe we want, you know, four people and two of them are larger than the other two. We'll be able to do this with dynamic views. Now, the other thing Microsoft has confirmed is that rolling out in August, we'll be able to see a video of up to 49 people in a meeting simultaneously. So when we are at a meeting and we'll be able to see basically a potential 7x7 matrix of people in the meeting. Now, speaking about the size of meeting, it's also interesting that Microsoft has announced that it is upping the number of participants in a meeting. So it is now allowing that up to 1,000 participants as well as having overflow. Now, what that's going to give you is the ability, again, if you want to have lots and lots and lots of people, I don't know how you would attend or how a 1,000 person meeting would work with everybody talking over each other, but in theory, there's obviously a demand for it. So Microsoft has now created that facility. You can now also have virtual breakout rooms. So this is really good. So maybe you have a main meeting and then people can break off into smaller rooms and meetings to continue the conversation and collaboration. Now, the support up to the limit now has been increased to over 20,000 participants as well. So in theory, the maximum for a Teams event now has been increased up to 20,000 attendees. I think that's probably more for Teams live events where you're mainly doing a broadcast, a webinar, basically a presentation rather than an ad hoc meeting. Now, some of the other enhancements they've done, they've improved the video filters. They've also basically included live reactions. So again, a bit more, you know, thumbs up, clapping hands, those sort of things. You can also bring in PowerPoint live presentations. We've got chat bubbles as well. And we can also attribute the captions to particular speakers. So before, we would just see the captions at the bottom of the meeting. We don't necessarily know who was saying that potentially. So now we've got that attribution as well. So you will know who's basically speaking when it has that translation on down the bottom. Some improvements on Microsoft Whiteboard integration with Teams as well. I think that's a great way to get your message across, especially when you're in this virtual environment. We're also seeing some integration with the Task app, and we also have some suggested replies inside our mobile app for Teams. And I think this is going to be really handy. I tend to fat finger things pretty often, and autocorrect then makes it even worse. So having these suggested replies is certainly going to, I think, be a time saver. And we're also seeing the integration with Cortana. So Cortana is Microsoft's, you know, virtual assistant, let's say, and that is now moving more into a business focus. Now, one of the more interesting things I saw was something called Microsoft Teams Displays. Now, this is again, sort of a smallish device with a screen that you sit on your desk. It's not a PC, it would appear, but allows you to manage and monitor your team. So what that means is that you could look at, you know, who's in the meeting, you could start the meeting, you could share your screen. All the team's interactions appear to work with these Teams display, leaving your PC free to do the presentation and so on. So first one out is out from Lenovo. Have a look at the video. Be interesting to see whether this is taken up. It's sort of like having a conferencing device in a room, but it seems to be more aimed at a personal device or an add-on to an existing environment that you may have. So again, have a look at this. It's Microsoft's approach to try and make the meeting touchless to make it easier for people to join and contribute together when it comes to meetings. Now again, the link to that will be in the show notes. Now there is a good article here, again from Microsoft Research, looking at the video fatigue that happens and the strains or the cognitive load that is placed on people. Now we're having lots and lots of video meetings. It's very interesting to actually look at the analysis that has been done and the impact that it has and what the ramifications are going forward as we are in this new normal. And the idea here is hopefully that Microsoft will take a lot of this research and roll it into the Teams product to help people make the Teams environment more productive. And probably the first step in this has been this together mode, this concept of you seeing everybody else in a familiar classroom or presentation style or whatever meeting room environment, even though it's virtual, rather than just seeing a number of floating heads out there in cyberspace. So I encourage you to go and have a look at that article as well. And if you're like me, you probably associate with a lot of things they mention there, and it will give you some handy hints on how to look at improving meetings for those who attend. Now, there is also an article here on the future of work, and this takes this concept of the change we're now experiencing and dives a bit deeper into it. So it looks at, okay, well, if this is now the new normal, the COVID-19 experience that we're all part of at the moment, how is this going to change the way we work? How are we going to take the challenges that this will bring, like, you know, a loss of attention and fatigue, and how we collaborate into the future here? So some good thought-provoking material here to go in and have a think about this if you're using Teams more and more, and how you can again look to make it more effective for those meetings you have and those people that you work with, because there is no doubt that there is a fatigue option here. The more meetings that you attend, it can be, like I said, you know, a challenge to pay attention to the meeting when you're not being distracted by other things and emails and articles and so on. So again, this article covers it off, I think, quite well, and will give you some good ideas there to look again at improving the experience you have with your remote workers when it comes to video conferencing. Now, a good article I would suggest if you want to look at some more in-depth training and understanding around SharePoint, OneDrive, Teams, and Yammer, as well as Stream. There's probably about a dozen videos here from a recent Microsoft 365 collaboration virtual environment. I commend them all to you to have a look at. They really do outline things like external file sharing, Microsoft lists, Project Cortex, the productivity benefits, the automation that's available with things like Power Automate, and so on. But the one I really call your attention to is one towards the bottom called Free and Easy Migration to Microsoft 365. Now, if you do basically work with environments where you need to move data from on-prem into the Microsoft 365 environment, I certainly commend this video to you. The great thing about watching this is you can run it at, you know, two times speed if you want, or 1.5 times speed to work through it quicker. But it covers off all the major tools. So in there, they show you how to use Mover. They show you how to use the SharePoint migration tool. And it gives you a much better feel for the different options that Microsoft provide for free when it comes to moving your data from on-prem to the cloud. I think this is a really good way for people to see what the differences are, what the different services are. Many people are still not familiar or aware of the services that Microsoft do provide for free to allow you to move file data from on-prem into the Microsoft 365 environment. So commend all those videos for you to go and have a look at, but certainly that one on the migration, I think is a must-watch for anybody who works in the migration space for their bread and butter every day. Now, the last one I talk about before we round off is the article I found here about bringing enterprise SSO single sign-on to Apple devices. Bit of a technical article. If you're, you know, basically an IT pro, worthwhile having a look at it. Shows you how to get a better single sign-on experience with the Microsoft apps on Apple devices. The I suppose one line summary is basically the Authenticator app, the Microsoft Authenticator app, is the real app that you need to put on devices, on the iOS devices, to get that seamless single sign-on environment and working fully integrated with the Microsoft services at the back end. But a little bit into it that is worthwhile having a look at, and again reading about why it is and how it does make it better. Like I said, a little bit of a technical article, but I will commend you to go and have a read of that to show you what's possible and improve that experience for your users. So again, apologies for the shortened episode now, because again we did have a last minute cancellation when it came to our interview, which we have rescheduled down the track, but didn't have anything else in the pipeline. Now, next week is the Microsoft Inspire conference. Now, this was the worldwide partner conference. Now, this has been shifted to a virtual event. This will be running over 48 hours this week. I will make sure that I watch as much content as I can, grab all the news, all the links, all the updates, and present that to you in the next update that I provide. So the availability of that is public, so you can go in now and basically sign up. You can register. You can watch it for free if you want. So there's no necessary restriction to be a partner as far as I'm aware. So I think a lot of it will be also available after the event as well. So you can basically go in and sign up, look for the Microsoft Inspire conference. And if I can just get the link up in time, you can use the myinspire.microsoft.com address to go and navigate there and see the content. If they're starting to get videos and content up, they're getting people ready. There's also a list of sessions that is available as well, so you can see what is going to be presented. So it's going to be, from what I see here now, over 3 days. So there's going to be a lot of content. A lot of it will be also repeated for different time zones to accommodate that. So again, it'll be very interested to see how Microsoft runs probably its biggest conference, which normally is held in Las Vegas, and have all the partners from all around the world. It's a really big networking event. How will that work in the virtual environment? Well, I'll give you more about that next week once I have gone through that experience as well. But if you do want to join in, again, let me know what you think, any questions you've got, myinspire.microsoft.com. So with that, if you do want to get in contact with me about anything to do with the podcast, at N2KPodcast on Twitter and Facebook, feedback@needtoknow.cloud is probably the best email to reach me. Otherwise, hit me up at director@ciaops.com. And also, don't forget, I'm on the Twitter @directorcia. So I'll take this opportunity once again to thank you very much for listening to this episode. Apologies for being a little bit short. Hopefully, we've got the news across to you and you're ready for the Inspire conference next week. Once again, thanks again for listening to this episode.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.